We serve a living God this morning, and all things are possible, not only here, but as we leave the doors, as we're at home, as we just commit ourselves to Him, and it's just our approach to Him determines the outcome, isn't it? If we can just bring ourselves to a state to come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we'll just bow our heads in prayer at this time and welcome our Lord Jesus here. Lord, we just come before You, Lord, with heads and hearts bowed this morning, Lord, knowing that You are here, Lord. And it's just a matter of us, Lord, yielding ourselves, Lord, coming before You, Lord, with the right attitude, Lord, with the right frame of mind, Lord, to receive from You this morning, Lord, that we might have an expectation from a living God who is able to do all things, Lord Jesus. And we just welcome You this morning, Lord. We come before You, Lord. We bring praise and honor and glory unto Your name this morning, Lord, and we just pray a blessing upon the congregation here, Lord, and the brethren that are listening and watching as well, Lord. We pray a blessing upon them at their time of listening. Commit all things into Your hands at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just stand and sing, I'm Thinking of the Rapture.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home and heart. When the redeemed are gathering in, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and crystal sea. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when we are gathering.
Who's looking forward to that time? I don't think we got any idea of what's in store for us. And praise the Lord, it'll be glorious, won't it? Let's sing number 107, In the City Where the Lamb is the Light.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where they come and go now. Are the mansions over there when we from pulling here? I am going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have the days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright.
Forward to that time. Was there any items this morning? So I know there's a nod there. And No, I got you. That's right. Let's sing, Oh What a Wonderful, Wonderful Day.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After Shadows they spread and went to
Done it for us. If we would just receive it, don't bother looking at yourself, you won't find anything in there. But if you look unto Him and unto His Word and what it says about you, and then you walk in it, praise the Lord, we are made whole, aren't we? Let's sing number 116.
We're floating down the stream of time, we have not long to stay. The storms of cloudy darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not there to lose. The life of sin is coming together to you. Then cheer, my brother, cheer, our God will soon be home. Our loved ones shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here, we're seeking a city to come. The life of sin is coming to heaven with you. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain. To try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, "Oh, in the helping hand." And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. What we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here, we're singing a singing song. The life of sin is coming together to the song. The life of sin is coming, my eyes of faith I see. And as she stood the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love to hear. Lady Christ, the captain, oh Lord, she's almost there. Then cheer, my brother, cheer, our souls will soon be home. Our loved ones shall meet upon the golden shore. Where pilgrims and misfits here will soon be seen. The life of sin is coming together to the Lord. Oh, now it's time to get on board.
Go from one trial to the next, you think, oh Lord, when's it going to end? Tell you what, it'll be over soon, praise the Lord, and we'll be in His presence. Let's sing number 592, and then I'll ask Sister Pauline if she'd bring an item. There was no other items, there was no other needs. Okay.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord.
Lord, you may be seated at this time. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
This song is a prayer of my heart. I want God to take my life and let it be all His. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thank you. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only yours for thee.
Thank you, Sister Pauline. What a blessing to have that desire that the Lord's placed there. That you'd want to surrender your full life to Him. If there's a desire in your heart for that, praise God for that. Because not many people do have that desire. I'm just going to read out the prayer request, and I'm just going to ask if Brother Tom would come and pray for them. It says, please pray for me. I'm desperate for healing. I've had a vestibular, migraines, vertigo, BPPV imbalance and ringing in my left ear. It's been on and off for 6 years now. The last 3 months have been the worst as it's happening so close together. I've now had to pause from my job. Please pray for my emotions too. I really want to encounter Jesus, experience His healing and hear from Him. My heart is also to reach many for Jesus and see them healed too. Thanks so much. And that's from Elizabeth. We'd like the Lord to pass by their way this morning, wouldn't it? I mean, these people have real needs, and it's not really until you know in a position yourself that you really can intercede on behalf of others. Because if you're not in that position, you don't know what it's like. But we just pray that the Lord would give us real compassion for people in need. There's another one. There's an enemy fighting hard against me, trying to hurt me. Would you please pray that God will deliver me from the situation on December 16th. That's from Jacob. And we'll remember the Paola with the shingles as well, your neighbour. I believe that's extremely painful as well. I believe Sister June was battling with that. Praise the Lord, you're doing much better. Praise the Lord. Is that what I undertake? Then we'll just remember Sister Jan Hughes' brother, who's in hospital at this time. And we'll just remember to uphold Israel before the Lord. We'll just thank the Lord for many answered prayers. It's met for us all. If we just look over back over time and the times we've served the Lord, how He's answered prayer and how He's been faithful for us. If you've got a prayer request this morning on your heart, I'm not going to ask you to bring it, but if you'd just like to hold it before the Lord as Brother Tom comes and prays, just pray that the Lord would pass by your way this morning, if you wouldn't mind coming and praying, Brother Tom. Thank you. Let's just bow our heads at this time.
Thank you, Father God. Father, we come and give all praise and glory to His name. For He is the light of this world, Father. We thank you, Father God, for the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, that strengthens us. Father, we lay all things at the foot of the cross, and we proclaim the power of the blood of the Lamb that comes from the cross, Father God, for our needs, Father God, for the blessing of those who are in need, Father God. Father, we just place them before you, Father God, for we believe, Father God, that what we ask for, Father, we have received it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Father God, for your blessings over all our loved ones, Father God. Father, we give praise and glory to his holy name, for we thank you, Father God, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, Father. Father, we give all praise and glory for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Father God. Because, Father God, we need the Holy Spirit in us, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for the power of his Spirit, Father God, that lives within us, Father God. Father, we come and give all praise and glory for the living, for the blessings over us, Father God, for those who are living, Father God, and for those who are in hospital, Father God. Father, we just pray, Lord, for your healing power over them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's just sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to bring the word this morning. Just a little longer. And the trump of God shall sound.
Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound.
Thank you.
You may be seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Howard. Actually, just on that note, I better announce that there is an afternoon service at 1 o'clock, and also a Tuesday prayer meeting at 7. I thought Brother Lee might pull my ear if I don't sort of put it in there.
Hallelujah. 10,000 years we've just begun. I believe I'm going to be in that. You do? Anyone else believe that? Absolutely. We want to be there. That is the blessed hope we have. Hallelujah. What a hope. Praise God. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We just pray that He'll speak to us. Speak to our hearts, not to our heads. We want not our heads, our heart needs to hear. And I was praying to the Lord, Brother Lee. I don't know why I choose you, but you're right there. I've often prayed, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you, Lord. I want you to speak to me. And I was praying this morning in my prayer room. And you know what the Lord spoke to me, to my heart? He said, I've been speaking to you all the time. I'm speaking to your heart. You may not hear an audible voice, which it could be anything. You've got to be careful. But the heart's never wrong. When God speaks to your heart, you know it's God. He told me to change my sermon, so I did. You just got to do as you're told. Is that right, Sister Missy? I believe we have to do as we're told. And I want to do as he tells me. God bless you, Brother Howard, Harold, and your wife. Had some good reports up the coast, Rotorua and wherever. That's good. Those people need encouragement. They really do. And the other brothers that went to, Brother Charlie and Brother Reef, he's the one who gave the testimony. So we just pray that God will have his way. We just want to do what he wants. So I just pray that God will speak to us through his precious word. Just remember that there's 5 or 6 times a congregation listening to us today. So I've got actually quite a good number of brethren that are regularly listening to us. Just the other week we had 400. That's more than that here. So we just thank God that we belong to a body, a people that love the Lord. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading, excuse me, of God's word from St. John 14. Beginning with verse 1, God bless you, Sister Shirley, great to have you. It says in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. So let's listen to what he says. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I believe I'm going to be there with all my heart and with all my soul. This is so wonderful. I also want to read from Titus, chapter 2. Verse 13, which says, looking for that blessed hope that and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to us. Hallelujah. Shall we just pray for a moment? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful word. It's such life to our souls. Oh, Lord, it's becoming more precious to me every day. When we see the world slipping away, going into the world, getting deeper into sin, Lord, I'm just so glad we have you. So wonderful. And I pray, God, you'll bless us this morning. May our hearts be in tune with you. May we not be like those on the Emmaus road where their hearts were slow. You said slow of heart. Don't let us be slow of heart, Lord. May we hear what the Spirit would say to us today. We thank you for this opportunity of being around the precious word of God. And we pray that your wonderful Spirit, which you promised to be here, will come and quicken it to our hearts. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to have you here. We welcome you and all the people listening, wherever you are, watching. You're very welcome. This coming a day, you won't need YouTube. We'll be together forever. Never to part no more. Won't that be wonderful? So I want to speak about this morning, blessed hope. Oh, you know, brother and sister, I've just been thinking about hope. It's such an important thing. And I know it's from God. And I know that he wants us to have this blessed hope. As it says here, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our full salvation through the glorious appearing of the Lord, of our Lord, says verse 13. And this hope has been given by God himself. In John 14:3, it says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It's not just coming again. You know, the world will see that when he comes second time, the third time, whatever it is. Every eye shall see him. It'll be different then. Yes. But we're talking about when he's coming for his bride. He's coming to take us home. Amen. And he'll receive us unto himself. Jesus is coming for me. Is he coming for you, Brother Charlie? It's no good coming for the church. It's going to come for you. That's what I want, Brother Charlie, above everything. I want to know that he's coming for me, and I want to have that expectation. I want to have that hope in my heart. And Jesus is coming for us, and we must have that blessed hope. Now, this word hope has a different meaning today, in a sense, partly thereof, but it actually has a different meaning to when it was translated, because our hope today means, I looked it up in the dictionary, to be sure. Hope today means expectation and desire combined, ground of hope, probability, hoping against hope, clinging to a mere possibility. This is not the hope we're talking about. The Hebrew and the Greek, it means a state of confidence, security, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. There's a big difference between that first meaning and the second meaning. So this blessed hope is a blessed assurance. And God will keep his word. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God is not a liar. What he said, he means. What he says, he will do. That gives you hope. So this blessed hope will keep you in a storm. This is a reality, brother and sister. I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you by the Spirit what's been said. I'm not a very good speaker in this explaining a whole lot of things, but I just pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to see what this hope is about. It's a reality. It's something almost tangible. Do you agree with this? It's tangible hope. Oh, it's powerful. You know, and when I started studying this today, I just went through the scriptures, and you'll be amazed, absolutely amazed, how much the Bible speaks about hope. that right, Brother Taz? It's just full of it. It's just full of it. So I thought, boy, this is really wonderful. I want the hope, that blessed hope. Praise be to God. You know, there was a little story told, a true story, of a rancher who was in California. He owned a big ranch. He was in the big city. He had everything he wanted, very wealthy. He had everything he wanted, but he didn't have a wife. And he got a little weary of all the women around him, all showing themselves off and how they do, you know. And it was the wrong sort of thing he was looking for. He was looking for something that was pure and innocent and honest. So he thought he'd go out to one of his ranches out in the way out in the wilderness. He had several ranches, and he went out to this one. He's the boss's son. He thought, I'd go and look over some of these lovely ladies and see if I can find one there. Maybe they are better than the ones I've seen around here. So he goes out there, and he's watching, and he's got his eyes open. He's on a mission. He's looking for somebody that was really nice. Well, when they knew that he was the boss's son, they all put on their best dresses and flouting around, and as they do, trying to be seen, impress. But this rancher's son said, no, I've seen all that back in Los Angeles. No, I don't need that. So they're having an evening supper, and it's getting pretty warm out there, as it does. And so he just thought he'd get out and cool down a bit. So he went outside and just onto the veranda there, and he was just trying to cool off a little. And all of a sudden, he saw a splash of water in front of him. And he looked around, and it was the maid. And she was doing the dishes, and she just emptied the dirty water. He looked at her. He said, hello. She said, hello. Very humble little lady. And he started to watch her in the coming days. He kept watching how she conducted herself and her attitude towards others. And the story tells that he was, one day he caught her again, maybe emptying more dishwater. Hands were rough. She'd work like a Trojan. He said, excuse me, could I speak to you? She said, yes. She said, I've just been observing you, and I want to know who you are. And are you the sisters of this other lot of ladies that are moving around? She said, no, I'm just an old cousin. He said, well, I see something in you that really thrills me. And she was very embarrassed and went red. She said, oh, not me, I'm just the servant here. He says, I don't care. I'm the manager of this whole place. And I don't care what you think you are. I like you. And I like your nature. And I like your humility. And he said, I would like to marry you. She said, me? He said, yes. I'd like to marry you. He said, I'll do this in 1 year's time. And on a certain day, I'll be coming to pick you up. And she couldn't believe her ears. And he drove off in his chariot. Not his chariot, his coach, whatever he had. And he said, I'll be coming past this gate on a certain day at a certain time. I want you to be ready. I want you to be in your wedding garment, because I'm going to take you home. You won't have to scrub dishes anymore. You'll be mine. I'll be looking after you for the rest of your life. Well, she's just completely reduced to tears. Well, you know, when he'd left and the other girls found out, why is he talking to her? He said, he's coming to pick me up because he wants to marry me. Well, they scoffed and laughed and made fun of, but like they do today everywhere you see. Never believe the report. And anyway, she had to wait. So she was so excited. She did all the work, humming and cheerful, and she got a wedding dress ready. And all these other ladies sort of thought, this is a joke. Do you think he'd come and pick you up? He's just having you on. But you know what? She had a hope. He'll keep his word. That he's going to pick her up. And they just scoffed and they all danced around and said, oh, silly little girl, thinking that you'll be the bride of the boss's son. But she didn't care. They're going to say that about you one day. You think the Lord's going to take you for his bride? Oh, come on. Sorry. But we have a hope that he's going to keep his word. And right on the day, she went out in a dressing in a wedding gown. And they all scoffed and laughed at her. But she just waited. And she saw dust on the horizon. Here he comes. In his wonderful coach. And he pulled up, and they stared in astonishment, mouths agaping. She walked out there. She hugged him. She put her in the carriage, and he took her off to be his bride. She had every reason to question that would happen, but she had a blessed hope that he'd keep his word. I just think that's a wonderful testimony. There's another one, a different sort of story, but it's true also. You all know the story, I hope you do, it's well worth reading. The story of a man many years ago called Shackleton. Who knows the story of Shackleton? Went to the Arctic. You do, Peter? Good. I recommend you read it. It's got some valuable things in there. Wonderful story. This man, Shackleton, had an expedition to the Arctic, and he took with him about a dozen men, I believe. More or less, I'm not sure, but he had quite a few men. And they really loved their captain because he was such a good man. He always helped them. Anyway, on their way, they met a terrific storm. And they had to get ashore. They couldn't find anything but just a barren little island. Just this little tiny island. They got onto this, managed to row ashore because the ship was caught in the ice, and they had to get on to this island. When they got on there, it was very cold. The Arctic's freezing. And they had to set up camp with a lifeboat tipped upside down. Couple of them there. They put covers over canvases, all they had. A little bit of oil. And it was impossible for them to go back, in a sense, because the ship was gone. And he said to his boys, boys, I'm going to go and get help. How, Captain? I'm going to go back myself. And I will return. Do you know what? This is the truth. This story happened. It's a very famous. I think you can see it down in Wellington. I think it's still got a display down there about it. But they actually believed the captain's word that he'll come back and receive them. He was an honest, upright man. And so he took a couple with him in a rowing boat, and they started to go over there and hitting the big seas in this rowing boat. And I forget all the details. I haven't got it written down. But it was a long time to get back to where they were trying to go. He had to arrange for another ship. And then he got another ship, to cut the story short. And when he started coming back to the ship, same problem. They couldn't go any further. They had to go back. Now, this wasn't days. This wasn't weeks. This was months. I get touched every time I hear this story. And the men were really starving. They had to go out into the beach and eat the seaweed. They had no food left, trying to keep warm. They went out. And this hope they had for their captain kept them alive. And I want you to notice the hope they had in their hearts kept them alive and ready in their desperate condition. They looked to the hope they had received from their captain because he was always honest. When he says coming back, he's coming back. Day after day they went out, no captain. Looked out in the sea, no captain. Weeks went by. Then months, a month went by. You know, the Bible also refers to this hope as a lively hope. I tell you, this word hope, you can look it up and study it. It's really worth doing, Brother Andrew. The word hope is really worth studying in the Bible. The Bible refers to this hope as a lively hope or a living hope that keeps you alive. The hope will keep you alive until Jesus comes. Not the church, not the preacher. That's all nice, but you need a hope in here. It's got to be more than your wife and your husband, your family. This hope comes from God. It's a living hope. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. It's not like, oh, I hope so. No, it's a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why we have a hope, because he rose from the dead and he's alive. Hallelujah. We in this desperate hour must never become faint-hearted or discouraged. You can't afford to. These guys on the beach had every reason to be discouraged. Put a glass of water out there, the next day it's solid. It's very cold weather in the Arctic. It's like this, Antarctica. So it's easy to become downhearted, faithless, disappointed with life. Now I know this applies to all of you because you all go through it. I go through it. We all go through it. We get buried down, don't we? Reality. It's true, Sister Melissa. You know these things as well as anybody. We all do. So those men had every reason after 4.5 months in atrocious conditions to say, where is a sign of his coming? Where is the sign of Captain? We've gone out there 4.5 months. He's still not here, eating seaweed and bits of things they could find. The odd seal maybe, or wasn't very much to live on, but they had a hope that he'll come again. This is a true story. It happened. I'm sorry I didn't have how many men he had, but it's quite a number. I think it might have been up to 20 men. They had to keep alive just under a lifeboat and a canvas they had off the boat. They're looking out to sea every day. But there was a brother amongst them. There was a man amongst them who encouraged them, who said, get ready, boys. The boss may come today. And those are exact words he used. Every day he got up, get ready, boys. The boss may come today. And you know who the boss is? The Lord Jesus. Get ready. Jesus said, be therefore ready for an hour when you think not the Son of Man cometh. We've got to be ready, for the boss could come at any moment. That's found in Matthew 24:44. It says that, therefore be also ready for an hour, for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. So you've got to be ready for him, as these men were. They knew if they quit having hope, they'd surely die. Very much so. They're getting very skinny and hungry and cold. But they had a hope. What is this hope they had? Just the word of a faithful captain. I will return. Do you know, brother and sister, we have a faithful captain. He said, I'll return again and receive you unto myself. We have a chief captain of our souls who has given us his word. I will come and receive you unto myself. And the angel said in Acts 1:10, we can read this. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 10, it says this. You see it on the screen. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again, people. He's coming again. And I don't care what others do. I don't care whether people are not interested or they dry up. I'm going to be ready to receive him. I mean that. We can't rely on other people. So this blessed hope keeps you clean. The blessed hope keeps you clean. You watch how you live. You're serious about this coming. You're serious that he's coming for you. So you live properly. You don't mix with the world. You don't engage in things you shouldn't be engaging in. And you know because you get conviction about it. If you're a child of God, you'll be convicted. This blessed hope keeps you clean. Just like that little wash girl, her eyes and heart was on his promise. It wasn't on another man. She lived right. She lived clean. And they said that the son had a spy on the ranch, watching her every move. He had heard everything about her, and she was clean and lived right. And that thrilled his heart. And God has sent a watchman here. The Holy Spirit is watching you every day, what you're doing, what you're thinking about, where your heart is fixed. So she said, I have his word and I have a hope that he'll come and fulfill his word. The Bible says, David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You'll find that in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, I have hid thy word, I have hid in my heart. I've got to put in Howard's heart. You're going to be put in Keith's heart or anyone else's heart here. It's got to be in your heart. It's only going to work if it's in your heart, not if it's on the blackboard. It's got to be in your heart. The blessed hope of his coming will purify your heart and soul. It'll keep you clean. I'm looking. I'm expecting he may come this afternoon. I want to be ready. I don't want to be found doing something terrible when Jesus comes. What a shocking thing to be compromising or doing something you shouldn't be doing and Jesus turns up. How will you feel on that day? You want to keep the slate clean. You're serious about it, you will. As this little lady was, this washed girl. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. As Brother Tim said, what a time is going to be when we get there. I was saying to Sister Leah last night, that scripture we said about when John the Revelator, it was Paul. He said, I was taken out of the body or not in the body. I'm not sure. He says, I'm not sure where I was. But I saw a man and he was uttering words. He was speaking words that are not lawful for men to hear. We know nothing of the greatness of God that's at the door. Brothers, so if you think you know God, you're just dreaming. We know a little bit about God, but there's so much more needs to be revealed. So we need to live right and be right. Because I want to be a part of everything he is. And time is running out. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. Praise be to God. This blessed hope is governed by your love for Him. As it says in verse 3 of our reading, but every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What purifies you? The hope. The expectation that He's coming on Monday. This Monday He could come. It'll keep you clean. You'll watch how you speak. Watch what you're doing. What you're spending your time on. All those things are a part of, like that little girl, she wanted to be right for the man. We're wanting our bridegroom to come. We want to do things that are right and pleasing to Him. Not as a law, but because we love Him. Where it's a love affair. He's our bridegroom and we're His bride. All of us. Many-membered bride. It says there, Jesus in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. Not read them, not sing them, not preach them. Keep my words. That means do what He says. Don't just talk about, oh, I love the Lord. I love His word. It's beautiful. But are you doing it? And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Holy Ghost coming to live in you because you're obedient to his word. You want to be right with God. This blessed hope has a down payment. Hallelujah. We're given a down payment when we believe, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest, the guarantee, it's yours. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. This blessed hope burns in the hearts and minds of every child of God. It's burning in your heart now. This is what we're living for, not for the next church service. That's nice. But is it burning in your heart for His coming? Are you ready for His coming? Or you're drifting around thinking about everything else? Think about it. You can be as a believer. You can become discouraged and pressed down. As I said, we all have those times. But the hope sustains you. When you can't go any further, Brother Brian, there's a hope there that He'll sustain you. He's going to bring you all the way through. Who believes that? Say amen. He's going to bring us all the way through. The earnest of our inheritance keeps you in the tough times. People say, oh, there's a revival on, hallelujah. But what about when there's a tough time? For the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And He's down in the valley areas too. But you have a hope down there. The hope doesn't come and go. The hope's put in there by God. A blessed hope. Praise be to God. The Holy Spirit given will keep us, the survivors, in this last day. I'm telling you the truth. The pressure is coming, brother and sister. The pressure is definitely coming. I'm not a prophet, but I say this. The pressure is going to come against you. You've got to know where you're standing. You're not just a church member. God doesn't want church members. He wants sons and daughters. And the sons of God have that hope in them. It's a godly unity we have. We have a unity one with another, not by the church or what we believe. But it's more than that. It's a unity by the Spirit. When I think of Shackleton's group, they call it falling to pieces, the whole bunch of men. Very easy. You know, maybe they got... Oh, I didn't have any seaweed last night. That's my piece of seaweed. You laugh about that. But, you know, that's reality. They were, a dying man wants the seaweed. A dying person wants what is available. And the pressure must have come against them. But maybe that man said, hold it, boys. The boss could come in the morning. Just have that hope in you. It'll be right. Just hold on. We today have a strong one amongst us. Right now, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Do you know that Jesus Christ is in this room? Who believes that? Say amen. He's right here in this room. God promised to be here, and he's a good captain, and he doesn't lie. Thank you, Lord, for coming this morning. He's the strong one amongst us. He's the very spirit of our chief captain to give us hope and comfort to sustain us when he returns. When you can't go any further with God, he'll be there. You know the story, Footprints in the Sands of Time? You know that song? The song goes, there are footprints in the sands of time. He's talking to the Lord. You sing it, Sister Mill. He said, but I see that there's just my footprints, and that, then there's just one set of footprints. There should be two, right? Now there's one. He said, how come there's one set of footprints in the sand? He said, that's when I carried you. Hallelujah. When you can't go any further, Paul, he'll pick you up and take you there. Because he's a faithful captain. We have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. I'm not hoping in this church. I'm not hoping in some preacher or any of you. As much as I love you, I'm trusting in the Lord, the chief captain of my soul. Hallelujah. Just such a reality to me, this blessed, blessed hope. It's a reality. It's tangible. Something you got, Keith. It's reality. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He promised to send us the Comforter. I don't see him. Have you asked him? Have you stopped and talked to him? Have you shut off your cell phone and said, Lord, I want to talk to you? You say, I've been trying to talk to you for a long time. I'm pleased to hear this. God wants to speak to you. We're too involved. You've got to watch this devilish world. We get so involved with this and that, and it's just bombarding you day and night, everything. Constantly bombarding you. You need to get away into a secret place and wait on God. He'll talk to you. He really does. I was saying, Lord, actually, Lord, I was saying to him this morning, I prefer you talking to my heart than hearing a voice because it's clearer. Your heart never lies. It's always right when God speaks to your heart. So I just thank him for that. And he'll speak to yours if you ask him to. And so he promised to send the Comforter, which also means an advocate. Advocate. He pleads our case. When you mess up and make mistakes, you've got an advocate that'll plead your case before the Father and make intercession on your behalf of all the sins and failings in your life. Do you love him? Yes. He's willing to do it. That's a blessed hope we have when we have the Lord Jesus. John, I think I read that one. And so he sees an advocate, also a comforter. It means our helper in our walk with God. Who is this comforter? In John 14:16, I'm going to finish. I'm going to try and be early these days. I don't want to be a long-winded preacher. I don't think that's good. You forget what I said. You remember, hear the first part, when you get to the end, you forgot what I said was in the beginning. But if God writes it on your heart, you'll not forget it. Whether I say it or anyone else says it. And I'll pray the comforter, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The comforter is abiding with you forever. He says, you don't know the testings and trials I'm going through. Good. God wants you to have these testings and tryings to help you and to cause you to reach out to God and believe Him. How can you trust God if you've got nothing to trust about? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. You say, I don't like having this. Or not. I don't like them either. But they're more precious than gold. And gold's very expensive right now. And your trials are more expensive. God said so. So God is that blessed hope. Not like the world who have no hope. The world out there are hopeless. They have no hope. They don't know which is up and which is down. If you ever listen to what's happening in America, I don't advise you to. But it's total nonsense over there. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. It's got no standards. It's all diminishing. A few believers holding on to God. But brothers and sisters, the world is in a desperate state. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. You need a hope. And it's not this church. It's got to be from the Lord. It's got to come into your heart. So I'll go down to church. That'll fix me up. No, I won't. You've got to have the hope. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in here to sustain you in the testing times. And He will. He knows you're genuine. It's a blessed hope. If you don't have that blessed hope, then you need to give your whole life to only one. God knows when you're violating His word. You say, how do I know? You'll know. You feel terrible. Convicted. Shockingly so. That's Him talking to you. I don't want you to do that. And He's watching you. He sent in a spy into the ranch. Watching this young lady. How she performs. How she acts. How she conducts herself. God sent the Holy Spirit down. He's watching every one of you. Can't hide. You maybe have to hide from your wife or your husband. You'll never hide from Him. He sees everything. I'm glad He does. So we know that He's the only one that can get that blessed hope. Just, I was saying to my wife, coming to church, this brother went, had a visitation. He was taken up. You know how people have visitations. I think he's an operation or something, and he was taken out of his body for a period of time. He went to glory. That happens to many people. It's not uncommon. Anyway, he's talking to the angel. The angel said to him, we have to send you back to earth. Your time is not up yet. I said, oh, I don't want to go back there. I want to stay with this beautiful presence of the Lord. I want to be with you. He said, no, you have to go. I'm just letting you know you're going to have to go back. Would you do something for me, please? And he begged with the angel, when you send me back to earth, would you promise to never leave me? You'll always be by my side. You know what the angel said to him? We always have been. We've always been by His side. You just didn't know it. There's an angel following you every day, watching your words, your thoughts. He wants to bless you and help you. And the best thing you can do is surrender to Him. He gives you that blessed hope. If you're hungry for that blessed hope, the good news is He'll give it to you. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. When's the last time you really praised the Lord? There's one there. Let's say, praise the Lord. And mean it from your heart to Him. Praise the Lord. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul. If your soul is longing for and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You want to be filled? You've got to be hungering. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. It's all back to you again. Lord, I want it with all my heart. Don't put it on. Mean it. He knows when you mean it. We're going to close with this verse, Romans 15:13, which says, now the God of hope, I tell you, it's all through the Bible. Look it up with your concordances. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's a wonderful message, isn't it? Let's read it together. May it stick in your head a bit, in your heart. Verse 13, let's read it. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's what we want, that we may abound. This hope is precious. It's not a hope so. It's a guarantee. It's an assurance. It's all those wonderful things. Shall we stand for prayer? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning knowing you're in this building. And Lord, we just don't want you to be in the building. We want you to be in our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you'll put that hunger in the hearts of my brothers and my sisters, in myself. I pray, Lord, that you will do a mighty work. Lord, that we will know the presence of the Lord in our midst. That wherever we go, we'll know that Jesus is with us. Please have thy way, Lord. Lord, it's going to be a living reality, not a sermon, not a doctrine. It's going to be more than all those things. It's going to be a quickened word. Quicken thy word. Lord, we want it to be quickened and made alive in us. That we'll have this hope and assurance, not in any person, not in any organization. And there are a lot of good people, a lot of nice churches and things. But Lord, our hope has to be in thee. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all to look unto thee. Hallelujah. Bless my brothers and sisters, those that are listening. May you help them all to receive that hope, that Holy Spirit into their life. Don't let them battle it out. They can't do it. They need you, Lord. They really need you. They're in a desperate situation. Lord, I know that the hounds of hell are after our young people. They're chastening them. Lord, they're after them to destroy them and to put them into a pit. But Lord, give them that blessed hope of the Holy Ghost and repentance in their heart to come back to thee and say, Lord, I surrender all to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have thy way, I pray, Lord. Amen. Was that one I wanted? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That the one I said? Was that? Huh? My hope is built on nothing less. Not on the church. Not on the preachers. Not on my husband. Not on my wife. Not on the family. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. Let's sing it from our hearts, brothers and sisters. And if anybody would like prayer, just feel free to come down. We'll pray for you. That God will give you this hope that you're looking for, this healing. Whatever it is, God will do it for you. He's faithful. He cannot lie. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust, sweetest frame, holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Sister, what did you want? Aren't they beautiful words? On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. People's opinion is sinking sand. Just stand upon the lovely Lord Jesus. Trust in His word. Do what He's asked you to do, and you will see the glory of God in your life. Hallelujah. I love Him. Who loves Him? Let's sing that I love Him. That has to be a lovely one to sing. What key we enjoyed? G, brother Peter.
C.
I love Him. Who loves Him? Sing it.
I love Him
because
He first loved me.
Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before You this morning, Lord. We do tell You that we love You, Lord. Lord, how we fail You, Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, to tell You, Lord, from our hearts every day, Lord, that we love You, Lord, and how good, Lord, and how merciful You are to us, Lord, how You've called us, Lord, how You've died upon the tree, Lord, to purchase our salvation, Lord, and we receive it this morning, Lord. We receive Your love towards us, Lord, and Lord, that You've given us this blessed hope, Lord, that keeps us, Lord, in the storms of life, Lord, and just makes us turn our eyes upon You, Lord, and turn our eyes upon Your word, Lord, and what You've promised, Lord, that You are coming again for us, Lord, and we hold to that, Lord, and we believe it with all our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord. So we just commit ourselves into Your hands at this time, Lord. We pray a blessing upon the food and the fellowship, Lord, as we go our way and come back at 1 o'clock. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have we got a song as we go? No.
I love You, Lord, singing high.
You are dismissed.